Good morning. How's everybody? I'm going to come down to the audience here for a second, pick up a clicker. How's everybody doing while I'm down here with you? Doing okay? Hope Santa Claus came to see you. And I am looking at a note here that says that 120 people signed a card a few weeks ago when we asked who was keeping up with Bible reading, daily Bible reading. And that's pretty impressive. 120 of you signed. We know that there were some people that did not sign that day. And we know that there were some people that were absent that day that we did that. And so we're very thankful for that. Next week, you're going to be handed a new card, and we're going to be emphasizing New Testament readings this coming year. Sometimes I hear some of you say it's frustrating reading the Old Testament, and when we read those words, we wonder, how did Adam ever come up with names for animals like hippopotamuses and rhinoceroses, as we see the names of people in the Old Testament? And that frustrates some of us and gives us a little feeling of pressure and problems. But we're going to read the New Testament this coming year, and we hope that all of you will get a card next week. And if you don't get one next week, there will always, I think, be cards out at the guest area. We hope that you will go by that desk and pick up a card if you happen not to be here next week. But some of you will want to start reading before next Sunday, because the first comes before next Sunday. And if you will listen to tell, and if you will look online at our website, you'll be able to find those readings that are going to be there for this coming few days before you get a card. Now, this morning, I'm looking at a year is gone. Does that make you think I want you to look back? No, I want you to look back. We can, as we prayed about and have talked about a little bit, we can look at accomplishments. There are some students sitting over here that made straight A's. Bless your heart. There are some of you who have thought about making straight A's, but you haven't gotten there yet. But you can get there. Looking forward, can't do anything about those B's you made last time, but you can look forward. And that's what God would have us all to do. So when we're taking a look at another year is gone, what I'm wanting you to think about is, what can we do about the year that is to come? And in these passages that were read for us a little while ago, there are some great suggestions about another year. I think about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and I think about him wanting to say, hold on a minute, Lord, look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at all of those things back there. And I did a lot of that for you. Why are you bothering me here on this road? I want you to look back, Lord, but the Lord isn't looking back, nor is he asking Paul to look back. Now, I'm pretty sure he is a lot like you and me. It's hard to get him to look forward. But Paul is giving us some things to think about here in this particular text. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, you're looking for something new today, right? You want something exciting. I want you to be lifted up off that pew about a foot. And if you don't get something new, it'll be ho-hum. I've heard that before. He said all of that. I know what he's going to say before he says it. If you do, great. Because I believe I'm going to say some things from God's word. Paul says to these people, it is not tedious. It's not tedious for me to stand up here and remind you about some things that I've reminded you before. And he says, for you, it is safe. You see, we want something new and exciting, and all the electronic games and stuff we got over in this section. I'm pretty sure this section over here, unless there's some young folks and I see some, you probably didn't get a bunch of electronics and you didn't really care. But these people care. It's about the new phone. It's about the new Xbox. It's about all of those new, exciting, wonderful things that we will toss aside in a short time. And they won't be nearly as important to us. But Paul says, I want you to be safe. And in so thinking about you, I want to give you a warning. Paul warns those people in Philippi, and he warns us. You think about dogs? Wow. So you have sweet little pets that you just love. They just sit on your lap, and you just think they're the neatest things in the world. That's not exactly what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about people who are evil workers, who have an evil influence. And he is telling us we need to be aware of all of those people that are going to harm us spiritually. And some of those people are just going to get you to look at what you've accomplished. Boy, there's some highly accomplished people in this room. And you can stick that chest out. And you can think, wow, what a good boy am I. Look at what I have done. Paul says, I want to remind you what I've said to you before. Have no confidence in the flesh. Well, if you're talking about confidence in the flesh, how many times have you read what Paul said about himself? Circumcised the eighth day, he was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrews of Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he stood without blame. He was ready to go. But Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus, I want you to think differently. I want you to think about your life today. I want you to see yourself in a different light. And he begins to call upon him to see that these things are not important. Paul was stating these things here in the book of Philippians, but he's stating them to help us see, in comparison to the things that are really important, these things are meaningless. They don't mean anything. So, you made all-district in football, or all-state in football, or you got all-A's, and you're in the honors club, and you did all of these things. Well, good for you. And that is good for you. But about today and the future, it doesn't mean a thing. What you want to do, Paul says, is to begin to think about the important things. And so, he says, all of these things. These things where I could brag about and have a lot of confidence in the flesh, all of these things have become absolutely meaningless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. You see, these things that are so important to the Jewish nation, that were so important to Paul, they didn't mean one thing to him now, because you see, he met Christ on the road to Damascus. There was a great experience, a life-changing experience. Boy, that's a word we hear a lot about when we read religious literature. We want an experience. You want some experience today that says, boy, the Lord was in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Don't you want that? You can't have it unless you choose it. You can't have it because of something that I do. You can't have it because someone sitting next to you is such a great singer, or someone leads such a beautiful prayer. You can't have it. You will have no religious experience until knowing Christ and his resurrection in your life is important to you. And then and only then will you have a religious experience. Or you may hear some song that was really, really beautiful. Boy, I heard a beautiful song, Oh Holy Night, and the way that it was rendered, the way that it was sung, it was so neat to me. But you see, unless I can translate the meaning of that song into my heart and then out of my heart into my life for living the way God wants me to live, it is absolutely meaningless. There's no religious experience to that. I just happen to enjoy a song. I happen to enjoy the beauty of the voices. I happen to enjoy a few of the words that I thought about on the way through while thinking about everything else. But it was not really a religious experience as such. You see, if I want a religious experience today, I'm going to have to think about what's important. I'm going to have to think there's something beyond this cell phone I have in my pocket. There's something beyond that relationship that I have as a dating partner. There's something beyond the way my children relate to me. There's something beyond the way we relate to each other. It begins with that relationship with Christ and counting everything else a loss compared to a relationship with the Christ. Well, what about this year? Stop looking back. There's some folks sitting in this room that heard some terrible news this year. Terrible news about sickness in families. Terrible news about sickness in your life. Terrible news about relationships. Terrible news about jobs. Terrible news, terrible news, terrible news. You're going to keep thinking about that. You're going to keep putting that out front in your life. And that's going to be the driving force in your life. You see, Paul is wanting you to think differently. He had a tremendously advanced status in Judaism. But that was back there. That is now nothing. All of the wealth, all of the power, all of whatever he had in all of those things, that is now nothing. But what he found in Christ, in his relationship with the Lord, knowing that he was now a child of God, in the kingdom of God, he recognized that what he found in Christ was far greater than everything he had gained in every other way. In his former life, great status. Now he was the servant of all servants. Being sent all over the place. Sometimes being told you can't go there, you've got to go here. He became the servant of all servants, in a sense. Now, how do we stop looking back? How do we stop regretting what happened? How do we stop regretting how we behaved, how we sinned, how our families fell apart, how our job fell apart, how all of these things happened? How do we stop, and how do we move forward? Let me share with you four goals that Paul shares with us in this passage for him. This was his goal about how he moved forward. You want to move forward? You will get no better advice. You want a religious experience? You look at what is in the text of God's Word. What little bit of it is on the screen. And in such a shallow way as I'm capable of presenting it to you, you look at what Paul encourages every one of us to do, from the most successful to the least successful. You look at what he is wanting us to do, and you put that into practice in your life. I promise you a religious experience that will be a life-changing experience. Number one, Paul says in verse 14, I press on. I have not attained. I am not complete. I am not all that I need to be. None of us are either. Our relationships can be improved. Our families can be improved. Our work can be improved. Everything in our lives can be better than it is today. None of us have to stay where we are. You can look at life and think, what a bummer. I made a big time mistake. Well, I made a series of big mistakes. You can stay right there looking back at those mistakes, or you can stop letting the devil tell you you cannot press on because of how bad you've been, how bad things are in your life, how poorly you've been treated, how sadly you've been done in a relationship. You can just keep looking back all you want to. Paul says, press on. This life that you and I have here is full of stress. It is full of pressure. It's full of temptations. It's full of trials. It is so full of disappointments for every one of us. It is amazing. But the child of God who wants that religious experience is going to press on. That's what Paul says. Secondly, he teaches us we're going to have to be forgetful people. Now, boy, I frustrate Jan to death. I have on this phone I carry. I have a calendar. And as I look at this calendar, I have things written down. I've got a bunch of stuff for this whole year written down. I'll have this with me. Janet will say, what have you got going today? And I said, well, I don't think I have anything going. And on my calendar, there are things that I've got going. So I find out later, and she's frustrated with me. Because in a day-to-day, routine day, forgetting is not something you want to do. I remember going to school one time. Forgot to do my homework. Teacher said, you're going to the principal tomorrow if you don't get your homework done. I worked, and I didn't have a couple of problems I knew how to do in algebra. My son-in-law wasn't teaching algebra at the time, and so I didn't have that problem done. I meant to get it done. I got there, and they were playing football outside. So I got in a football game, and I forgot to finish my homework. I went to the principal. The principal said, tomorrow, you're going to get a paddling. Now, that's out of this world. He would be thrown in jail probably today. But you know what? The next day, I didn't have my homework totally completed again. And I went to the office. Boom. He spanked me. I couldn't believe he would be so bad. But, you see, forgetting is not normally a good thing. But let me tell you, the way Paul is talking about it, what a wonderful blessing forgetting is. You see, if you have done something wrong, you need to recognize that you've done something wrong. Admit it. Just say, you got me, to the person or persons, to the Lord. You got me. Ask God to forgive you. Ask people to forgive you. You can be thankful, looking forward, that God forgave you. He is turning all of that stuff loose. Will you? Will you turn it loose? Will you forget? You see, there are people in this room that have had others to hurt them. It might even be somebody in this room that's hurt you. First of all, the Bible teaches you to take up the problem and do everything you can. If any wrong is to be done in the matter, let it be on the other person's part. If you have done something to hurt somebody, you go take care of that. You fix that in the best way you can. Take responsibility for sin. Make it right with the injured party. Forget. Well, there's some people sitting in this room right now who are saying, you just don't know what has been done to me. And I'd have to say, I don't. You don't know how badly I've been treated by my husband, by wife, by my children, by my boss, by, and you just keep on naming people and how life has just drilled you and hurt you. I don't know all of that, but I know what God says. God says, if you want to be miserable, you keep looking back at all of that and remembering that. Remember every hurt. Remember every person who hurt you. But if you want to get with it and do what you need to do as a Christian, stop looking back and be forgetful. It can be done. Reach forward. The quality of life that every one of us wants is out in front of us. The best is yet to be. Do you believe that? Or are some of us who are older, are we on the downhill part of life so much that we keep looking back thinking, wow, I had it made back there. I had all this power. I had this authority. I had everything going. And now I have slipped so far in life that I am dead in my tracks. The best is yet to be, God says, for us. Reach forward. Reach forward when trusts have been broken, when damage has been done, when feelings have been hurt, when things have been said and done to disrupt and create distance in special great relationships. Reach forward. Someone said, and some of you, get ready if you're an eye roller. Y'all are good at that. I've seen several of you go, You know, you kind of throw your head back, and those eyeballs just kind of roll up in your head. Well, let me tell you, there's some old folks over here that do the same thing. There's some people sitting here who are going to read this statement, and they're going to roll their eyes, and they're going to think, it ain't so. It can't be done. I'm not big enough. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. And God says, yes, you can. But if everybody involved would just find the humility to confess their sin, admit their neglect, make apologies, go the extra mile, and then forget it, get over it, and reach forward to those things which are ahead, life can be better. Is that easy? Absolutely not. But if you want to be miserable and stay miserable in the coming year, keep looking back. Reach forward, God says, and then walk by the same rule. The word walk is used in the Bible a lot. And really, it's talking about a way of life. It is talking about action toward a destination. Everybody in this room is walking toward something. It may be that because of your attitude, you are walking toward losing a job. It may be because of your attitude, you are walking toward losing a spouse. It may be that you, because of your attitude and your way of looking back at how bad things are and how tough things are, you may be losing relationships in this world that you would tell the world are so dear to you, but the reality is they're not all that dear to you because getting your way and being right is more important than anything else. So walk by the same rule. There's a standard. It's God's word. And it's tough. Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. It is hard work. If you want an easy lifestyle, being right before God, get up and get out of here, because it isn't going to happen. But if you want to do what it takes, you're going to listen to these suggestions. You're going to think about the coming year. And whatever you do in word or deed, you will choose to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks God the Father through him. Here's what one commentator said about these verses in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. I want you to listen. That's just a commentary. This is not God's word. This is one person's point of view. He says, Paul made a break with everything in his past, the good and the bad. Religious achievements, virtuous deeds, great successes in ministry, as well as sins, as well as missed opportunities, as well as disasters of all kinds, they must be forgotten. They do not control the present or the future. I want to repeat that. They do not control the present or the future. Believers cannot live on past victories, nor should they be debilitated by the guilt of past sins. You want to make an application to this passage? Think about those four steps. Think about what is being said here. Listen to this. And I believe this would be true at least in part of the Henderson congregation. This writer says churches are full, and he's talking about churches all over the land. Churches are full of spiritual cripples, paralyzed by grudges, by bitterness, by sins, by tragedies of the past. Others try to survive in the present by reliving past successes. They must break with that past if they are to pursue the spiritual prize. God is interested in what believers do now and in the future. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. The clearest vision for the future is for those people who are able to forget the past. Now this morning, as we close this part of our worship with an invitation song, as we call it. It is really an invitation for you to love God, an invitation for you to forget about things that you can have forgiven. If you are living with sin in your life, you don't have to do that. If you turn to the Lord, trust that you can live the resurrection that Paul lived, in being buried with Christ and being raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. You can do that today. If you're a child of God carrying the burden of sin, you can drop that burden on the Lord. He asks you to. He wants you to. He desires for you to do that. But you have to choose. You want a religious experience this morning? It has to come from you. from your heart, from your life. And if a public response could help you in any way, that's our hope. And that's our prayer, that you will come as we sing this song. Would you stand? Let us sing.